Mark 1, verses 12 and 13. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness, and he was there in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and was with the wild beast, and the angels ministered to him. As we continue to move through the Gospel of Mark, we are observing Jesus as he begins his earthly ministry. His coming was announced by John the Baptist in verses 7 and 8. Then Jesus appears, submits himself to baptism. Remember, Jesus was baptized not to cleanse himself of any sin, for he had no sin to be cleansed of. He was baptized to fulfill all the requirements of the law. Jesus Christ, as soon as he was baptized, Jesus was anointed by the Spirit of God for service. Baptized, then anointed by the Spirit of God for service. And Jesus heard the voice of his Father acknowledging him as his Son in whom he was well pleased, his beloved Son in whom he was well pleased, and approving of him in every way. Our verses today reveal even more about the preparation of Jesus Christ for his mission of service to mankind. As soon as he was baptized, the Spirit of God, it says, driveth Jesus into the wilderness. Or drove it, as it has in the New King James. Drove. This word, drove or driveth, is a strong word. It means to throw out, to cast out, to force out, to throw out, cast out, force out. This word does not suggest that Jesus had to be forced to do the will of the Father. It simply means that the Spirit of God moved on Jesus in a mighty way, in a strong manner, and led him into the wilderness to be tested. I'm interested in this passage because Jesus Christ went through a period of temptation and he came out the other side victorious. Every one of us, every believer, will face times of temptation as well. We need help when our times of testing come because, unlike Jesus Christ, we fail in this area far more often than we succeed. This passage offers some much needed help and hope when our times of testing and temptation comes, and they will and they do. Let's look into these verses and consider the temptation of Jesus Christ, the temptation of the servant. Since Mark's account of this event is so limited, we'll be calling on the testimony of Matthew to aid us in our understanding of the Lord's temptation. You can find Matthew's account in Matthew, obviously, chapter 4, verses 4 through 11. Let's look at some of the details of our Lord's temptation so that we can be helped when we're facing temptation in our own lives. Immediately, the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. The word immediately lets us know that the trial Jesus faced in the wilderness occurred just as his baptism was completed. There was no lag in the action. One moment Jesus is hearing the approval of the Father, receiving the anointing of the Spirit, and confirming the acceptance of his mission. The next moment, he finds himself being compelled, being driven into this time of temptation. There is a great lesson here for the children of God. We're never more vulnerable than when we're coming out of a time of great victory. Satan loves to attack us when we think we're the strongest, and this is clearly taught in the Scripture. Look at Elijah on Mount Carmel. He prays a short prayer. The fire of God falls, consuming the sacrifice. He takes 450 false prophets of Baal and has them all put to death. He prays again, and it rains for the first time in 3.5 years. Matter of fact, he even outruns the chariot of King Ahab all the way back to Samaria. Elijah's at the top of his game. Glory, glory, glory. Fast forward then, less than 24 hours, Jezebel sends him word that she's going to do the same to him that he did to the false prophets. And what does Elijah do? After all that glory, after all that victory, does he remember the power of God and say, bring it on, Jezebel? Bring it on, God can handle you? No. No. His time of testing comes, his time of temptation, and what happens? He runs away in fear. Beware, brother. Beware, sister. When you enjoy a great spiritual victory, you're getting in on a good move of God. You might think that you're invincible and that you've reached a place where the devil cannot touch you. When you think like that, you are headed for a time of testing. How many have faced a trial on the heels of great victories? Satan also will come when you're tired and weak. In verse 12, it says that in Mark 1, that the Spirit drove him. Immediately the Spirit drove him into the wilderness. We're told that Jesus was sent into the wilderness. The Jews saw the wilderness as a place of danger, of gloom. Actually, they even thought it was the abode of demons. For them, it represented everything that was evil and separated from God, the wilderness. Jesus was sent into the wilderness to do battle with the devil on his own territory. Jesus had already invaded the devil's territory when he was born into this world. The scripture, after all, says that Satan is the god of this world. When Jesus came into the world, he was declaring war on the devil and bringing the battle to him. In his temptation, the battle lines are drawn between Jesus and Satan, clearly drawn from the outset. The temptation of Jesus serves three basic purposes. First, the devil found out just who he was dealing with. Secondly, the son to experience the father's ability to take care of him. And third, we can see that there's help for us when we face our own times of testing. I'm glad that Jesus endured temptation and testing. He's able to help us when we face those times of testing in our lives. That's why in Hebrews 2, verse 18, we're blessed by these comforting words. Hebrews 2, verse 18. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those, to help those who are being tempted. He himself has suffered being tempted, being tested. He understands. He understands what we're going through. He can sympathize with our weaknesses. In verses 12 and 13, we see the trials of Jesus Christ, temptation. Mark description, as I said, of these events are very brief, but we can see some important truths here. We see the leadership. The temptation was all about Jesus doing battle with the devil. But Mark is quick to tell us that the Spirit of God is the one who caused Jesus to go into the wilderness. The Spirit of God caused Christ to go into the wilderness. When temptations to evil come, they never come from the hand of God, as we're reminded of in James 1, verse 13. God never leads people into sin. He's not the author of sin. He's in the business of leading people away from evil. However, he will permit or send us into times and periods of testing. He does this to cause us not to fail, but to help us grow in the Lord. It's not to cause us to fail, but to conform us into the image of His Son. Realize this, brothers and sisters. Every temptation, every trial that either is caused or permitted by the Lord is to conform you into the image of Jesus Christ. He knows that our best growing is when the pressure is on. God will not send you into a time of temptation to sin. Excuse me. He will not send you into a time of temptation to sin, but he will send you into a time of testing to help you grow, to grow. Just ask Joseph about why he ended up in that pit. You see in Genesis 37 and Genesis 50 verse 20, God will never send you into sin, but he will put you in places where your faith will be tested. Satan also uses these times to tempt us, where our faith will be tested, and Satan wants to tempt us. In the wilderness, realize this, in the wilderness place, Jesus was cut off from friends and family. He was shut off for a time so that he might be tested. His only companions were the wild beasts, the angels, and the devil. We do not know why Mark mentions the wild beasts. He may have mentioned them to emphasize the fact that Jesus was in a barren place inhabited only by wild animals. The desert in Jesus' day were inhabited by lions, hyenas, wild boars, jackals. These were all fierce beasts of prey that might have stalked the Lord Jesus. Some believe that these animals recognized their Creator and came near to comfort him in his trials. However, I think the wild beasts just added to it all, the loneliness, the temptation, the fear that would have came over the wild animals. Notice too, the angels did not give him food until his testing was finished. In Matthew 4:11, we read that. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. They left him there alone for the 40 days. They hadn't ministered to him. The word ministered is the same word that's translated deacon. It means to wait tables, offering food and drinks to guests. But they were with him during that entire ordeal. But yet, they did not minister to him. The Spirit of God was also there to give the Lord Jesus comfort during his trial. The Holy Spirit is called the Comforter. In the book of John, John 14:16, the word comforter refers to the one who comes alongside of another to offer aid and comfort. One who comes alongside of another to offer aid and comfort. Of course, the devil, he was also there. He was there to see Jesus fail. He came to tear the Lord down and to feed him if he could. How many times during those 40 days did Satan tell Jesus that no one cared? How many times did he tell the Lord how foolish he was for trusting God? How many times did he point out the fact that Jesus was alone and had no food and had no friends? Does this hit home with you, my friend, my brother, my sister? I know it hits home with me. There are times when it feels like we're walking through the hard places of life all alone. It seems that the only one around is the devil. He comes around to do to us just what he did to Christ. He comes to mock our faith. He comes to mock God. He comes to challenge our resolve to trust the Lord. Even when it seems that you're all alone, though, remember, you're not alone. The Lord's angels are there ministering to you in ways that you will not know until you get to heaven. Hebrews 1:14. Now, let's look at that. Well, first, Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have unwittingly entertained angels. See? The angels are ministering in ways that you will not know until you get to heaven. Sometimes you just don't know what the Lord is doing. Have no idea. Look at Hebrews 1:14. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? The Lord himself is there, even when you can't see him, even when you can't sense him, even when you don't feel him. He is still there to help us. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, for he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What beautiful words of comfort, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What words of comfort. And in Matthew 28:20, it tells us, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. I am with you always. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You think these words would have been spoken to Christ? You think he would have been comforted knowing that that is true of the Father? That the Father is with him even to the end of the age? That his Father would never leave him nor forsake him? Our Lord knows how to help those that are lonely. He is with us. Matter of fact, the scripture says that he's in us, that he'll never leave us. Look at John 14. The comforting words that we find in there. John 14:16-18. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, so that he may abide with you, notice once again, forever. Forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, notice, and he will be with you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you. I will be in you. He will abide with you forever. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll be with you to the end of the age. How great it is to know these promises. How precious are these promises to the child of God. This is why it's so important to meditate on the Word, to put these verses in your memory bank, to turn these verses over in your heart, your mind, and your soul. Especially, I cannot stress this point enough, these verses of promise from our Lord. These verses that the scripture tells us to comfort us, especially in times of trials and temptations. During trials and temptations, you feel that you are all alone. You feel that there's no hope for you. You feel as there's no way out. You feel I can never come back to the Lord. You feel as if I can never be used by the Lord again. You feel that the Lord cannot forgive you. You feel that Satan has destroyed you, that Satan has gotten the victory over you, and he may have won a battle. But just because he won a battle does not win, meaning that he will win the war of your soul. So, brothers and sisters, I would encourage you today, no matter where you would find yourself in your trials and your temptations, know that they have been given and permitted by the Lord in order that you would become more Christ-like, that you would be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Be encouraged by the promises that I've read to you today from the scripture, that he is with you even to the end of the age, that he will never leave you nor forsake you, that no one can snatch you out of his hand. Rest on these glorious promises in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.